This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. We close week 12. We'll have Pritch stop by, Mike Pritchard, in about 29 minutes. Looking forward to talking to Pritch about week 12. We close out week 12 tonight in Indy. Your boy, Saturday on a Monday. This game open, mostly three everywhere with Indy laying it. I'm just shocked that it's dipped below it. I really am. It's sitting 2.5 now everywhere.
Pittsburgh has that love. You know, it's a little bit like Browns have had that love. But the Browns have it too. Everybody was on the Browns at 3.5 yesterday. I didn't see it. And maybe it would have been a three-point game. But, you know, and certainly we talked about it. I mean, what was that nugget again? How many times has Brady, 211 was it?
Brady was, until yesterday, 218-0. So he had never lost when he was leading by 7 in the final 2 minutes of a football game. 218-0. Pretty wild number.
Yeah, well, you know, he did. You know, he's won all the Super Bowls. Belichick didn't. So anyway, we'll go back to that later. You know, to me, it was... You know, this Pittsburgh love is strong. I haven't seen it. That offensive line, I think this, as Thomas Gable said, he used the word sneaky good. I think Indy's defensive line is sneaky good. I mean, look, the Raiders we know can run the ball. We saw Josh Jacobs run it. We saw them run it against Denver. You know, they were good against Josh Jacobs. And, you know, that game was back and forth. And not that the Raiders are great defensively, but certainly, you know, the Raiders have moved the ball and scored on pretty much everybody other than the Saints. And so, you know, I just think, to me, this is a game where Indy's strength against the weakness of the Steelers, not because I think that their quarterback is Kenny Pickett's going to get confused or frustrated. I think the speed of the game, and I also think the offensive line playing on the road at Pittsburgh isn't a very good situation.
I'm taking a look at BetMGM. The bets, 54% of the bets on the Steelers, 57% of the money on the Steelers. What am I missing here? I mean, look, you just mentioned the defensive front for the Colts. Sneaky, that Indy defense has been really, really good. I mean, the Colts stop unit has allowed 20 points or less in 7 of their 11 games this year. I mean, this has been a pretty consistent defense for the Colts.
Yeah, and they're better when they play at home, too. You know, they get crowd noise. When they beat the Raiders, everybody's all, high school coach beat the Raiders, right? You know, remember, they beat Kansas City at home. I mean, they beat Kansas City at home when Ryan's arm wasn't nearly as strong as it is right now. His arm wasn't very good, and it looked weak. It's looked a lot better in the recent weeks, I'll say that, right? So, you know, to me, look, Tomlin will have his team ready. There's no doubt. This cold offensive line's not very good. This game's going to come down to you. Trust Matt Ryan to protect the football. If you do, if you believe that, then you got to believe that they can win the game. I think the unders in play, you know, what is it? It's 39.5 all across the board. I think that under can definitely be in play because I think both teams aren't going to be explosive offensively.
Nope, two under teams as well on the year, Pittsburgh and Indy. Yeah, I mean, it's a low total. We've seen a couple of primetime games now go over the total. But, yeah, you mentioned it's 39.5. Just, again, interested to see that hook fall off the 3 down to 2.5. And you take a look at BetMGM, and more bettors hitting Pittsburgh right now. I just don't see it with Pickett. It's not fair to judge him one season in, so we'll give him another one. But what is special? Like, when they were – and, again, Colbert, yeah, who retired, he's great. So we can't knock the GM that retired there that picked him. But what were they looking at that stood out as plus as far as Pickett and any skill set?
I think what they were probably saying is, look, we've got to find somebody – that we can build a team around that can lead the team, right? Somebody that can help us and somebody that can kind of is not going to, we know we're not going to get somebody who's absolutely incredibly talented, but we've got to get somebody who's absolutely can help lead the team. And I think that's where they went with. And so my sense of that is they just basically settled on it. And he was the only answer that they could come up with. I mean, think about it. If they don't draft them, they got Mason Rudolph and the great Mitchell Trubisky right now.
100%. What are you doing? Some remodeling over there in the office? What's going on there?
Well, my computer was dead, and I forgot to plug it in. I mean, it's just, you know,
I take care of things.
I saw downstairs. You know, I saw I wasn't on camera. I tried to get away with it, and you called me out on it.
I know. I wasn't going to say anything. But isn't it the most annoying thing ever when you get comfortable on the couch and you forget the charger for the computer and you got to get up?
Man.
You got to go.
Yeah.
It's the worst. Sorry, I didn't mean to call you out there. Okay, so it's 2.5. We are going to play. We're playing the Colts for our Betsgiving bet. We won't talk about the prop, but we're going to play the Colts here. And again, you know, it doesn't matter if it's Saturday, if it's another random. There's always going to be juice with an interim head coach just because, you know, as a human being, you kind of feel like you're playing, you're auditioning. There's a lot to that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think they truly probably believe that the owner, because the owner picked him, this guy has credibility to stay, you know, and unless things starts to fall apart. But, you know, I don't know what he'll do. Now, the last 2 weeks, here's what's happening with the Steelers offensively. You know, when they lost to Miami, they had a chance to win that game. They turned it over 3 times. The Philadelphia game, they had no chance to win. They turned it over twice in that game. They come back, they beat the Saints, no turnovers. Last week against Cincinnati, that's a closer game. Even though it was 37-23, Cincinnati kind of pulled away from them. But they forced 2 turnovers against Cincinnati, you know, and they didn't turn the ball over. I think Tomlin's saying to himself, look, if we can run the ball, don't turn this thing over. We don't have to be flashy offensively. You know, we don't have to be great offensively. All we have to be able to do is not turn this over, not give up an explosive play, because Indy's not an explosively offense. And hang in there and get into the fourth quarter. It's, you know, I think that's got to be the formula tonight. That's why, you know, when it's under a field goal, these games have a tendency to be field goal-like games.
Yeah, absolutely. And they leaned on Taylor, 22 rushes against the Raiders, as you know, 147. Then they also handed him the ball 22 times against the Eagles for 84. So my assumption is they're going to lean on him again tonight.
Yeah, I think they're going to try, but this front's hard to block because they move and they're quick and they're athletic, and you got to block Buckner inside. He's a hard guy to block in there, you know, and so this offensive line is not very good. And so that becomes a problem. You got to find a way to create easy plays without having to go 2nd and 12, 2nd and 11. You know, that's the hard thing to do.
Okay, we'll have more on Monday night. Of course, the Colts hosting the Steelers right now, that number's 2.5. And just for bettors, if you're wondering where the number's headed, it's essentially 110 everywhere. So it looks like the 2.5 is going to stick. I mean, I see DraftKings is 2.5 minus 120. So that's pointing up to 3, but it's not moving to 3. And everybody else is 110. So just to give you an idea of where that number is, it looks like it's pretty firm there at 2.5. A philosophical question for you, and then we'll get into the game. So I understand the Jags going for 2. They're not playing for much. What did you think about the Chargers? You know, obviously still in playoff contention. What did you think about the Chargers going for 2 to close out the game there in Arizona?
Well, I think when you look at the numbers, and, you know, the Chargers were fortunate because the fourth quarter, the Cardinals didn't get a first. After they scored the touchdown, they went 3-3 and outs, you know. And so once I saw that, I'm thinking, okay, you know, maybe they won't kick because they dominated the fourth quarter. But they had a chance to win the game, and I think they had Arizona on the ropes. I mean, Arizona's defense was on the ropes, and they ran a really good play. And because they did that, you know, look, it works. I don't know if I would do it. I don't have enough to put all on one play, but I could see why you did it there. Because at the end of the day, the Cardinals had every opportunity to win that game. In fact, when you look at the stat sheet afterwards and you see it, I mean, the Cardinals, you know, the Cardinals averaged 5.7 yards per play. Chargers were not very good at 4.9. They struggled to really move the ball consistently in the game. So put it onto one play and made it, and they won the game.
Okay, for those that don't know, and then we'll get to the Cardinals, the Chargers 24-23 with 15 seconds to go after Eckler scored, Herbert to the tight end, Everett, and that's the game winner. Here's the head coach talking about it.
I really believe in our offensive football team. I believe in our quarterback. I believed in the play call. We executed it well the entire week. I felt like it would have good answers against the defenses they might play, and we wanted to finish the game on our terms.
Okay. That's Brandon Staley. They finished the
game. You know, it makes sense. I mean, I think he explained it really well there. I mean, they executed it at practice. He liked it. And when he says it would have worked against whatever they were in, you know, that what that means is, you know, you have it. So it's a – you know, if they do this, we're going to do that. If they do that, we're going to do this, you know. And so a lot of people think that NFL teams come to the line of scrimmage and just run a play. That's not what happens. I mean, yesterday the Raiders run a toss crack play on fourth and one. Didn't work. They should have run the sneak. They had the sneak. They didn't. Somehow there was a miscommunication in term, but they had two plays live. Every team has two plays live, and I think he felt like he had the right play, so you do it. I mean, Jacksonville ran an out route like we were back in high school, you know, and they were on the far hash, and Lawrence makes a great throw across the field to the guy on a breaking out route. So give him credit with that. Give him much credit for that.
Yeah, I want to ask you about him. That's where Joe Lombardi, who runs that Chargers offense, Staley says, you got that one play that's guaranteed, right, for that 2-point? You got that one play that's over here on the call sheet that's, like, guaranteed right here? And he said,
well, they
yes,
practice it, yeah. You know, yeah. You practice it when you got to have plays. I mean, that's what you do. That's called that's game management during the week. You're not winging that into time of the game. You're going to do that at the point of, hey, we need this play. I'm sure on the headsets during that drive, Lombardi knew he was calling that play on fourth down.
Once again, Cliff Kingsbury's offense folded when it mattered most. It's
unbelievable.
Here's what Kyler Murray had to say. He said, schematically, we were effed. That was after the game. He's directly, get 30 seconds here, we'll come back and discuss it, but let's be fair. He's directly talking about his head coach.
I mean, he throws everybody under the bus. It's never his fault. I mean, it's never his fault. And look,
we
I mean,
all
the two highest paid quarterbacks of this offseason, right? The two highest paid guys, three highest paid guys, Rodgers, Murray, and Wilson, none of them are playing well.
He nailed it. We'll come back with Murray and Kingsbury next.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, Cyber Monday. We're going to hook you up here at VSiN. $30 as soon as you sign up and become a pro. VSiN.com/subscribe. When you subscribe, you get everything. Free picks from the guest and host every single day. Pro tips. Become a pro right now, and then when you do, you're going to get $30 in credit to spend at the store. So $30 for free, VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, we got you back here. We got Mike Pritchard coming up in 14 minutes. Look forward to taking a deep dive with Pritch and getting his play on Monday night. I want to ask you about Lawrence and Jacksonville and potentially troubles in the fourth for Baltimore. But let's circle back to Kyler Murray, who got paid. He played his organization perfectly on social media before the season started. He got his money and he's still unhappy. He said schematically, even if you agree with what he's saying about Cliff Kingsbury and the scheme with the offense, the idea that the quarterback is throwing the coach under the bus, he said schematically, we were effed, saying we didn't have a chance because of our offense, and the offense is Cliff Kingsbury, the coach.
Well, yeah, I mean, he threw everybody under the bus except himself. I mean, you know, and in the fourth quarter, when you look at the game, I mean, they go on they get the ball with 4 minutes, you know, and I think they had the ball with 4 minutes to go in the third quarter, and they take it all the way down and they score the touchdown to get to go ahead. Then they get the ball back with 10 minutes to go. They get it right back again, and now they got a chance to extend the lead. They had it at their own 6. They couldn't get a first down. Then they get the ball back again at 7 minutes to go in the game, 7 at their 25. So now if we can get some yards, we can get 3 plays and out. Now they get the ball at their own 10. They got 2 minutes and 19 seconds. All they need is one first down. They win the game. They go 3 plays and 3 yards, and they got to punt back. And then that's the game. I mean, and that's the game. So, you know, they missed a field goal early in the third. They only had one possession in the third quarter. They missed that field goal. But the reality is they went on a long drive to kind of put the game away. They had 11 plays, 75 yards, got 5 first downs. After they scored that touchdown, Patrick, they didn't get another first down the rest of the game.
Yep.
Again, Tampa, no scoring after 7:42. This team, 13 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, don't score again. You know, now they're fortunate. If you bet Arizona, you were on the right side. You got them. But they should have won the game. You should have won the game. I mean, they were moving the ball in the first drive. They fumbled. They come down the second drive. They get a touchdown. They get a field goal. Then he throws an interception. I'm sure that was somebody else's fault. Then they get another touchdown. Then they miss a field goal. The only time they punted in the game, Patrick, for the scheme being so bad was in the fourth quarter.
Well, you said it. After the final scoring drive by the Cardinals, they failed to get a first down on their four following drives. The quarterback's an issue, man, because it's going to be this every single year, week to week. It's always going to be hanging over this organization. That's Kyler Murray.
You're never going to change this, right? You're never going to change this. It's simply the law of threes. There's always going to be somebody in a group, right? There's a thing called the law of threes, and there's three groups of people on every team. And on every team, there's group one. Those guys will do the Buda Bakers. They'll do anything you want them to do. They're going to show up early, be on time. Then there's people in group two who are not sure what to do. Then there's the people in group three, usually the most talented people. You can't make them happy. Kyler Murray's in group three. And so as a leader, as an organization, what do you do? What do you do? You typically go and try to win over group three. Exactly what the Cardinals did. We're going to go win over group three. We're going to recruit Kyler Murray. We're going to give him a big contract. Everything's going to be well. What do they have now? They got turmoil. They got constant turmoil because they basically went to the one guy who was the disturbance and rewarded him.
Yep. Well, it's every business entity is the same, right, Michael? That rule of three, it happens in every company where you have the group that goes out to happy hour and complains about the company, and then you have the ones that try hard. Like, they paid the guy that was insubordinate, and that splinters down to the rest of the organization.
And then they wonder why they wonder why they're in a bad organization. They violated the law of threes. And so here they are. Here they sit. And unfortunately, they're going to have to deal with it.
And I don't think the coach is going anywhere because Keim is married to him, right?
I can't tell. I mean, I don't know what Michael Bidwell's got up his sleeve. I mean, you know, he's given an extension to the coach, an extension to the general manager, you know, extension to the quarterback. And he's watching this team, and he's just giving games away at home, you know, and he's giving games away, and it looks bad.
Conversely.
But, I mean, Keim has been able to endure everything. I mean, he hasn't taken any of the heat.
100%. Conversely, and Keim, you know, with the Wilkes situation and drafting Josh Rosen, there's a lot. Keim, if we could all get as lucky as Keim at work with second opportunities and third opportunities, we'd be a pretty happy group. You know, the Lawrence juice is there. Like, you saw when he converted the touchdown and the two-point conversion, he's fired up. There's a good attitude. That's the converse of what we're talking about with Murray. Trevor Lawrence, and if he goes on to become good, and we think he will be, yesterday might be the springboard. I mean, 153 yards and two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. They go for two. They hit the two. It was a nice win for the Jags over the Ravens there.
Really was. They score 18 points in the fourth quarter. You know, and this Jag team, and I said on the pod today, this Jag team could be the best team in the South. They're most talented team in the South. They're not the best team in the South. You know, and they couldn't get any real pressure on the Ravens offense. They didn't get any sacks. Lamar was able to run the ball. But again, Lamar throws 16 incomplete passes. And a lot of that is directed to me at the offense. Like, I've been saying this for so long on this program. The guy needs to be under center. They need to run more drop back. They need to be in some two back. They need to stop running this ridiculous offense that they run, because when they have to throw the ball at the end of the game to win games in the fourth quarter, they can't do it. Like, it's got to stop. At some point, somebody's got to recognize it. And they want to blame the quarterback. I don't blame Lamar Jackson. I blame the offensive coordinator. I don't think he's – I think this – you know, I don't think – I saw his name's up for the Stanford job. Maybe he'll get the Stanford job. But you can't have Lamar Jackson and have 16 incompletions. I mean, Trevor Lawrence yesterday – I said this going into the game. He can't throw it 40 times. Well, he threw it 37. You know, they only ran the ball. They had 20 carries for 38 yards. They couldn't run the ball at all. ATN only had two carries in the game. And yet he was able to manage a way to get things going. Zay Jones has 11 receptions in the game. But Lawrence only throws eight incomplete passes. Meanwhile, Jackson's throwing 16. He threw as many incompletions as he threw completions. You can't have that. Especially when you're so good running the ball. They had 35 carries for $162. I hate the Ravens offense. I think the Ravens, it's never going to win. I'm convinced of it. It's never going to win. Average 6-1 a play, you know, all that's great. Get in the fourth quarter, can't make a play. And then how about Dougie? How about my man Dougie squib kicking it at the end of the game with the greatest field goal kicker in the history of field goal kickers? So, and they give him a chance. He had a chance.
Tucker was close. what was it, 68 yards?
Yeah, 67. I mean, I want to kick the ball in play there too, but I don't want to kick it to where they can. I wanted to kick it pop up in the air, let them have to field it.
Just a grievance. We all hate the fade pass in the end zone, but that out route, just as far as probability, I hate those out routes. Would they convert it on the 2 yard? It takes a hell of a throw by the quarterback. Oftentimes, you see the cornerback able to jump a route like that. Anywho, it works for the Jags on the 2-point conversion. They convert. So, like you said, they may be the most. They are the most talented team in that division. They're just not the most.
They need another receiver. Maybe Ridley will give them that receiver this offseason. They're going to have a ton of cap room. You know, they got a quarterback that looked like he's getting better. They have too much inconsistency. They could have beaten Washington opening day. You know, they had that game. They take way too many chances in terms of going for it on fourth down that are reckless chances, not just, you know. And look, their defense needs some work. There's no denying. They gave up 415 yards yesterday. I mean, the Ravens were 57% on third down. But when the Ravens had to get a stop, they couldn't get that stop. I mean, you can't lose games like the Ravens are losing game in the fourth quarter. That tends to bleed into your team. But that fumble, that fumble did them in. I mean, that was the killer.
That was it. Yeah. And you look up, too, with the Ravens and Lamar, he's not really throwing it to anybody either. They're not doing him a ton of favors on offense. Let's put it that way.
I think from a design standpoint, this is who we have at quarterback. This is what we need at receiver. From a design to a production, I think it's really bad. I think it's all about Roman's run game, and it's great that they can run the ball and they got all these tricks. But at some point, the other team knows when we got to throw it, we got to throw it. We got to put the game away, right? We got to put the game away. And they couldn't do it. They couldn't put the game away. They fumbled on that. They get the ball at their own 6-yard line. I don't know. You know, I didn't see the play, but they obviously took the kickoff and they got to the 6. So I don't know why they must have taken it out and gotten a penalty or something. And so there they go. And they turn it over right there. They spotted the ball. I mean, they get the ball at the 16-yard line. Four plays, 5 yards, touchdown, field goal.
We're going to have Pritch on next. How fired up do teams? I'm just looking at it. San Francisco, you know, just 13 points on offense. But how fired up is a team the week after they shut out an opponent in the NFL? Like, that zero is big, right? When you shut out
huge.
A team.
Right. Yep. Huge.
It does
it
a
really
lot
is.
For the juice.
Yeah. Yep. Duvernay tried to take the ball out. He got to the 6-yard line. And then the Gus Edwards fumbled.
That's what it was. Yeah, you watched that. I was watching that Ravens offense, and I'm like, you know, Michael's onto something here. They're not doing him a ton of favors, that being Jackson. And he was spicy on social, by the way. Pritch is next.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it is The Lombardi Line as we welcome you back, presented, of course, by BetMGM. The betting splits. When you become a pro, that's part of the tools. The most popular, the betting splits, no doubt. You get to see where the money and bets are going for every game. It's updated every 10 minutes directly from DraftKings, so very efficient. Today's games and future events. Go to VSiN.com for the betting splits. Okay, Mondays are good for us because we welcome in former first-round draft pick, VSiN colleague, host, and NFL insider Mike Pritchard. And I think we should start with the exciting news. First off, Pritch, hope you had a great holiday. It's great to see you. Okay, we lost Pritch for a second, but one thing I did want to ask him about, we reported over the weekend that it looked like Colorado had offered Deion Sanders the job. You're hearing potentially he may take that job.
Yeah, I've heard through the grapevine that he's trying to put together a staff. He's got I think Colorado has one more game to play. Pritch would know better than I. Has one more game to play, but once they play that game, then I think it's going to be a fait accompli. You don't hear his name. Georgia Tech, he's not involved in the Georgia Tech. UNLV just opened up this afternoon, so I don't know what other ones are going to open up that he would get involved with. It sounds like Colorado is going to be his place.
So, Pritch, glory yes. days and glory years at Colorado. You were a superstar there. I think if Deion takes this job, that's about as exciting as it gets.
Oh, I mean, Patrick, Deion Sanders, when I got drafted first round to Atlanta, he actually showed me around Atlanta. He picked me up. He showed me around the city. Will run. Yes, I will run to Boulder, Colorado if I need to show him around Boulder if that announcement comes. I got some I'm all about chemistry and vibe. So the jerseys I have hanging up right now behind me is my Atlanta Falcon jersey and my Colorado jersey.
We see it. That looks great.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm trying to connect the dots for prime time to arrive in Boulder. But Michael, I think from what I hear, you know, it's an attractive situation. The contract, if he's putting together a staff, I mean, that means the world for us out there in Boulder.
I think it's going to be great. I mean, look, I think he gives the Colorado needs a brand. They're going to get this brand, mm-hmm. As you know, Mike, when you played on that team, there were so many great players on that team. Getting players to Colorado is not that hard. It's a great school. You're in the Pac-12. You've got a chance to compete in that. And if he gets the right offensive and defensive coordinators, and they give him some support money-wise, which is always critical, I think he'll do a great job.
Well, I think what's going to happen is the media rights deal, too. George Kliakoff, the Pac-12 commissioner, because I'm on the Pac-12 football council, and we're going to have a meeting coming up right before the Pac-12 championship game this week. And everything is in motion for our new media rights situation. So if we can add prime along with Lincoln Riley, along with all the other great coaches within the Pac-12 conference, I mean, that is something to behold. Now, I know USC is going to the Big Ten, but you're adding a name like Primetime and perhaps some other names, big names as well. So pretty excited about that situation all around for the Pac-12 and for CU.
That's a great shot there with Pritch behind him. He's got his Colorado jersey. He's got his Falcons jersey. That's an awesome shot. And Michael informed me of this. I was very surprised. You're from Vegas. Marcus Arroyo out after 3 years there at UNLV. Surprised by that because I thought the administration there were really all in on him. He still had 2 years left on that contract, Pritch.
Yeah, that one is a little shocking. I mean, I know they were in a prime situation to go to a bowl game. They go out to Hawaii and lose that game, which I don't know how you do that. And then certainly the rivalry game, which was a situation in which you want to get that done. But he's a highly paid coach within the Mountain West Conference, and you don't have a bowl game to show for it. So yep. I know they got a new athletic director, right, Michael? And so there's different visions are in play here for UNLV and their football program, and certainly Marcus Arroyo, I guess, no longer a part of that.
Well, I mean, I think what happened is the former athletic director who's now at Missouri hired Marcus, you know, so there's really not a lot of support against really a lot of the boosters and the donors at the school. So there wasn't perfect alignment. And I think what you see in these schools is you need perfect alignment. You need everybody on the same page. And that wasn't the case since the day Marcus showed up there. And it did. I thought he won enough this year to go to his fourth year. But obviously somebody stepped up and said, no, we're going to pay. We'll pay that out. It's time to get a new coach. It'll be interesting to see who they hire.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Pritch, you could throw your hat in the ring, no?
No, I'm not. I don't have a hat to throw in a ring, Patrick. I'm good in my lane as a retired player.
Little known fact. I don't know if you knew this, Pritch, but Michael Lombardi got his start in coaching there at UNLV back in the day, right, Michael?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was there with the Harvey Hyde coaching staff, walked on the field for the first time in 1981. I saw this guy named Randall Cunningham. And, you know, when I watched him punt, Mike, I can still remember it. It looked like the Bionic Man punted the ball. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Now, I came from a Division III program, Hofstra, so we didn't have great punters, admittedly so. But, wow, I mean, that was, like, unbelievable.
Yeah, I just missed you because Wayne Nunley recruited me after Harvey Hyde. And, you know, I grew up here watching Harvey Hyde and Randall and Kirk Jones and all the great Rebels, right? And that is what inspired me to want to go to college in the first place, is watching Randall and the Rebels. And so coming out of high school, Wayne Nunley,
coaching a long time in the league. He coached a long time, was the running back coach when I first got there. Then he became a D-line coach for the Chargers for a lot of years.
Right. And so, we just missed each other, Michael, over there at UNLV.
No Pritch doubt. Has got a story. You guys both have a great story.
It's a way
Pritch's
different
story.
Town, Mike. You know, it's funny. I come to Vegas now, and I don't even know where the hell I am. You know, I have no idea. Like, my world was over there on Maryland Parkway, and kind of I had a house out on. But now it's like, whoa, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is. Close knit back in the day, Patrick and Michael, I played football against Lorenzo Fertitta. He was a defensive back for Bishop Gorman Gales. Yeah, absolutely. And Marty Cordova. I mean, all these legendary names from Vegas back in the day.
Well, to put a bow on the coaching conversation, you're saying right now you will drive to Colorado. You will drive to Boulder today to get this Deion deal done.
I will run, actually. I could convince a private jet situation to get out there to help introduce Deion, but yeah, I absolutely would show him primetime around Boulder, Colorado. I mean, I would be through the moon excited if this could happen. And a lot of other players. I've heard from everybody. Michael Westbrook, he was teammates with Deion out in Washington, and a number of legendary Buffs players and also boosters. Everybody would be excited about this. Absolutely.
It'd be great for the conference. I think you said the best point. It'd be great for the conference. The vibes would be immaculate. We shall see. Deion has been offered the Colorado job. If he accepts it, that'd be pretty awesome for Pritch's school there. Okay. You mentioned in your notes clutch performances by backup quarterbacks. None more clutch than Mike White. Maybe you can talk from inside the locker room, the perspective of getting that guy, almost like a Heineke, that the players right. believe in, as opposed to what was happening with Wilson with the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, clutch performances throughout the league. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, right? The throws he made, Joe Burrow, and things like that. Mike White as well. I mean, in addition to the clutch performances, I was mentioning to Stephen Bonner, producer, about just how many backup quarterbacks are starting right now, or backup quality quarterbacks are starting in the league right now. And we're seeing a shift to the running game. Look at the Raiders and what's going on with that football team and how physical they are. But no, I thought the players in that locker room wanted a change at quarterback. Robert Saleh rewarded them with the change at quarterback, and they responded, which, you know, I don't know what that means for Zach Wilson, but if you get a group of players to respond that way, Robert Saleh's got something special going on out there in New York.
Yeah, I mean, look, Zach Wilson forced him into it. And all of a sudden, this Jet offense, which we didn't even know existed, has come to life. You know, we've seen moments of it in the fourth quarter. It's funny, I was listening to, you know, people talk about Zach Wilson in the pregame stuff yesterday. And I've never seen Zach Wilson play well. Like I've never seen Zach. Right. Zach Wilson has had no game like Mike White had. Like, he's had no game like that.
Nothing close.
No.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
No, you're 100% right. Like, he looked like a, you know what, Michael, you talk about out the crib, like, White just looked like a natural quarterback. Wilson looks skittish.
Yeah. He doesn't look like he's bought into anything, and he's got, you know, he's another one of those guys like Kyler Murray that's got an excuse for everything that goes wrong. I mean, it's never his fault. And basically, he did them a huge favor by doing that. By saying that, he left Robert with no choice but to bench him.
Yeah.
Yep. He's somebody Pritch needs to take in a back room and give a talking to, is what that's what Zach Wilson is. Hey, by the way, Pritch, we just have a minute. We'll come back and get more into it. But the Raiders, got to give that coaching staff credit. And Jacobs, who has just been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a process going on in which the new coaching staff wanted to understand and evaluate the players and their capabilities and certainly get to know them better. The trust factor, I think the trust is the biggest word in any organization. And then on the other side of that, too, I mean, the players understanding the new coaching staff and also trusting them with what they want to get done. So it seems like it's starting to come together now for the Raiders and all that talent.
Yeah, you get to this point of the season, you're looking for those teams that start to quit on the coaches, and that's not happening with the Vegas Raiders. When we return, we'll see what the syndicate has cooked up for Monday Night Football with Pritch next here at Lombardi Line.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's betting's premier loyalty program, BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Unleash the spirit of Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. So every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM reward points so you can redeem them for online bonus credits like free bets. Of course, if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you could also convert your BetMGM points into reward points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms. It's awesome. You got to be 21 years or older, 1-800-GAMBLER. Just go to BetMGM. Pittsburghpreps.com. Okay, we got you back here, Michael Lombardi. We've got Monday night, Indianapolis hosting Pittsburgh. Indy laying 2.5. We'll get to that. Mike Pritchard joining us, our colleague here at VSiN, of course, former first-round draft pick. We love Pritch on Mondays here on the Lombardi Line. As an aside, I meant to ask you this. We were just talking about the uniqueness of Colorado and potentially Boulder if Deion takes that job. Mike Pritchard, did you ever get into skiing or snowboarding when you lived in Colorado?
I tried it once, and I think they call it plowing. Yeah. I did not parallel ski. I did snowmobile, though, and I did a lot of hiking and stuff like that. But no, skiing and me did not jive. I plowed down a mountain, and then I headed to the lodge, and I kicked it for the rest of the day.
Michael, the reason I bring it up is Pritch and I were discussing during the break, you know, Colorado is maybe the most unique state in our country. It's gorgeous, and there's just so much potential for somebody like Deion to go to Boulder. It's just such a gorgeous spot. It's like untapped potential, if that sounds correct.
It's absolutely gorgeous, and yeah. It should be, you know, as when Mike, there was a great spot. There was a lot of talent on that team, and you know, and this Continental Airlines, when they were in business, the guy who was the president of Continental, was they were going to LA to get a lot of those LA kids up in there to Colorado, and Mike McCartney did a great job of recruiting and coaching, and they were really good in the Big Eight. So I'm hoping it comes back. I think there's no doubt. I mean, it's such a wonderful place that you got to believe it should come back.
Totally agree. Hey, Pritch, we've been discussing this Week 12 closer tonight on Monday night in Indy. Just a little surprised it came off that opener of 3. It's now 2.5. It's 2.5 everywhere. A little surprised it's not Indy laying 3 here. Let's get your initial take on Pittsburgh at Indy tonight.
Well, I think I'm curious about if we're going to see a reinvention of the Pittsburgh Steelers offense. Like we saw them put up 30 points against Cincinnati, a familiar opponent. Off a bye week, right? And Matt Canada, I mean, a little bit of the vertical passing attack. With all that talent and all that youth, you have to change. You have to be different. I think you have to depart from Big Ben and what that was and now allow this young talent to kind of grow together. And so I'm interested in seeing that. I think with the injuries or the banged up nature of the defensive line for the Colts, you should be able to protect Kenny Pickett, if you will, in that football game and then establish a run too. But defensively, still the Steelers are going to get after the Colts. You know, Matt Ryan and that offensive line, that's really the issue to me for the Colts all year long has been that offensive line and the regression of that offensive line. And now you got Matt Ryan and certainly his ability or inability to move around the pocket. I mean, that plays right in the hands of the Steelers, in my opinion. I have this as a tight game, and I look for the Steelers and catching points right there. I know some people that did teasers with the Steelers and waiting out that leg on Monday Night Football tonight.
Yeah, you know, Mike, you're always nervous about playing the Colts, especially when they have that turnover disease. I mean, they have that ability. Matt Ryan has that ability to have the one or two plays where, you know, he just turns it over. Now, since Saturday got there and they changed offenses, they kind of have went back and tried to be as basic as they can be. You know, they ran the ball against the Raiders. They ran for 207 yards against the Raiders, which helped. Last week against the Eagles, they couldn't run it as much, but they only turned the ball over one time in each game. You know, and that's what they can't turn this ball over. I mean, they can't turn the ball over. When they played Jacksonville at home, they had no turnovers. When they played Washington at home, they had 2 turnovers. They had a chance to win the game still. They've got to be able. This game should be in the teens, and whoever turns it over, to me, is the team is going to lose.
Great point.
We'll get your official leans coming up in just a couple of minutes. Just to back up again to what we saw yesterday. Actually, let's move forward for a second. Deshaun Watson's going to make his return, Pritch, in Houston next week. Kind of a, you know, Brissett, Cleveland pick up a dramatic win in the final minutes yesterday, and here comes Watson. Talk from a former player perspective, because they're laying 7 at Houston. As far as not playing for this long and jumping right back in the mix, it's going to be a tough adjustment for Watson, no?
Yeah, it is. Ironically, we're just talking about Randall Cunningham, right? And remember when he retired and he was laying down tile? And then he comes back and he plays with Randy Moss and Chris Carter and Jake Reed and all these guys, Robert Smith, and they almost went to a Super Bowl. I don't know if it's going to look like that. I mean, Deshaun Watson has missed a ton of football, and he's with a new football team. And You don't know. I think he's going to energize the guys in the locker room. I think he will. The presence of Deshaun Watson, they're eager, eagerly awaiting that. But he's going to be at the podium now. And I know there's going to be some media out there that's going to test him with some questions. And I'm curious to see how he reacts to that. I don't think it's all going to be friendly for Deshaun Watson. And now that he's the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. So if he can handle that as a person, and if he can handle that as a competitor, then Cleveland's going to be energized. And so I know Houston should be more competitive at home. I don't know who's going to be quarterback for that team right now. I don't, do you guys know which direction they're going to go with that? But I think Deshaun Watson certainly is going to be rusty, though.
I mean, whoever plays quarterback for Houston will be rusty, too. I mean, yeah. The whole team's rusty, right? I mean, where's Houston going, right? They've made no progress in 3 years. I mean, they've gotten worse, and you can't see it. You know, the one thing you want to do is you want to build on something. You want to say, okay, we've got some hope, but there's nothing there. Look, I think if I'm Kevin Stefanski, I'm going to go down there, and I want to play the game like I want him to be the six-back offense. I've got to run the ball. I got to integrate Deshaun into the playing football at this high, high level, which he hasn't played in a long, long time. And to put the burden of responsibility on him, I would look at this as going down there and saying, look, we're throwing it about 20 times, and we've got to be able to run it. And the presence of him in the game, you know, why did the Eagles run Hurts on the first play of the game? They want everybody to know he's a running back. He's going to run it. You know, it's why if you're in that Josh Allen, he's going to run it early in the game. I think they got to let people know that Watson's going to run it.
We were talking about Murray before you came on, Pritch. I'd like to get your take as a mm-hmm. player. You know, look, whether or not you agreed with what he said about Kingsbury's scheme, and you saw what he said. He said we were effed schematically, so he threw his head coach under the bus. But like Michael mentioned, he essentially held out on the team over social media until they paid him in the offseason, and he's still not happy. You're in that locker room with 52 other dudes. It's like the quarterback always being melancholy and always just kind of a black cloud over the franchise.
Yeah, I'm going to be nice about Kyler Murray because, you know, I've been a little bit harsh on him, but he's a soft football player, period. He really is, mentally and physically. He presents no leadership qualities, skill set at all. And it's unfortunate that he did throw his coach under the bus. I mean, they are a tag team, if you think about it. I mean, he was a draft choice to the Cardinals because of Cliff Kingsbury. If Kingsbury's not there, he's not drafted to the Cardinals.
Great point.
Because there's no other team that would have drafted Kyler Murray. You know, he's a gadget guy. I played and you know, I watched Doug Flutie and I respected Doug Flutie because Doug Flutie was a competitor, right? And there was nothing really soft about him, but he was limited though. And that kind of played out a little bit in the National Football League. I think Kyler Murray and what we saw in college works and is fantastic in college. But I know people that recruited him and they told me how soft he was mentally and physically back as a recruit. And that's carried over to the National Football League. And that's being nice to Kyler Murray.
That's being really nice. Hey, Pritch, I could tell you this. I've had former teammates that I don't even know that watch the show or listen to the podcast that have emailed me and said, he's always been a jerk. Like, he's never been a good teammate. Like, I'm not even looking for this information. Like, I'm not playing Sherlock Holmes here and trying to build a case. And his reputation is what it is. He's not a good teammate, and he demonstrates it every time. Right. I mean, he does. It's horrible. You're right. And you're not – you are – he's soft. He's softer than anything. And he's not good. But the problem is nobody wants to say he's not good because we can make him upset. Like, he's not a good player. He said, you said it perfectly. He's a gadget guy.
Yeah.
I like how Pritch started the sentence with, I'm going to be nice, and then proceeds to crush Murray. That was well played, my man. Okay, we got a minute. Let's get out of here with this. Pritch, it sounds like if you were forced to pick a side, you would take the points with Pittsburgh. Is that fair?
That's fair. That's very fair. I would enjoy a teaser situation. I was light this week. I had one teaser that involved the Titans and the Falcons, but I think taking the points here is the way to go with the Steelers.
I'm going to go with the Colts here. I think I just think to me, you're playing home. You're playing against a bad offensive line. You got to win this game.
That's our bets giving play, so that's why we hope you're wrong there, Pritch.
Okay.
Listen.
Well, ours is the other one, the Steelers.
Okay. Well, no.
Somebody's
going to
be right.
Yeah,
right.
So one of us has to be right. We guarantee you that. Pritch, you're the best. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Thanks, Pritch.
Okay?
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Michael,
appreciate
have a great Monday.
You too, Patrick.
Big Bets is next. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.